And if your bald buddy from Edmonton rips me anymore about putting GIFs on Twitter, I'll start putting bald people out there for him.
Well, you should. I mean, Strutty, he loves that. But yeah. You know he likes to put a quarter in us and get it. He always takes shots at me, believe me. Like, you guys think that it's just you two. There's always a comment about or a backhanded
comment.
Oh, you
get it worse than anyone else. Yeah, he's not shy about you on Twitter.
Keep in mind, I hosted his roast. So for about an hour and a half, I just got to chew him alive. And believe me, it was unbelievable. I had such fun.
I missed out on that opportunity. I had the invitation to go out.
Yeah, you got invited. That's right.
I did. I was speaking. Jason Greger was behind that. And I'm like, I think I can get out to Edmonton. And it was, didn't the timing change?
It was
originally
September
supposed to
or something.
Be.
Yeah,
it got moved.
It was weird.
And,
yeah.
I think the reason was my daughter was being born. It was supposed to be in May. And I'm like, I just can't make it at that point.
Then
once I said no and the date changed, I was like, I guess I'm out. But I'll bet you Duthie has hosted a bunch of roasts. Yeah, like he's the go-to guy for hosting events and stuff. And I guess he hasn't really had the opportunity to do that for the past year. He's not alone in that. Here is James Duthie from TSN. Do you miss the opportunity to get in front of the mic at golf tournaments and all that? I'll bet you do that a ton.
I don't know. I don't say I miss it. I've done a few Zoom ones, and those are really weird when you can't see people. and especially when, like, I was doing one last week for, I think, Canada Post, and they have an award show that I host every year, and so they like me to do like a monologue, and I keep telling them I'm not a comedian. Anybody who sees me on TV knows I'm not a comedian. But they want a monologue like the Oscars show. And so this time I'm doing it, and I can't see everyone. So you're doing like 7 minutes of what I call material, and you're just staring into a screen in your room. And I didn't even have it on like gallery view, so I couldn't
Did
even
you
see
have
the face.
Puffy on the drums going like bada ba ba boom after every one of your.
I mean, everything was pure tumbleweeds, and I'm not sure if it was or not. It probably was, but it was that was painful. So at least a live audience, you know, if you suck.
Isn't that the worst feeling in the world? I had a Zoom yesterday for a presentation, and it was with some people in Russia. So there was an interpreter, and I made a joke, and I had to wait to see if there was a smile that would come back from the people.
No way.
And I was waiting and waiting, and then I saw one guy smile. I was like, I nailed it. You know what I mean?
It landed in Moscow.
It landed. It was so funny. But like, I can't. I've done a few of those speaking engagements, and it is tough when nobody laughs at your joke. It's
right.
Embarrassing.
Oh, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
Hayes, you've done some speaking.
I've done them, and I've been the go-to guy for emceeing weddings. You know, I've emceed a bunch of weddings, and that one's really tough because everyone is in a good mood and they want to laugh naturally, right? So if you miss as an MC of a wedding where people are in the good spirits and they're willing to hook you up, you know you really missed. Like you really swung and missed. And
wedding
it can be
tough. Brutal wedding speeches are the worst.
Most cringeworthy experience of life is a bad speech at a wedding. The
Ask
worst.
Bill Hayes.
Yeah, my dad's got the worst of all time.
Well, wait, which one's that?
It was my older sister's wedding. I'm banned from mentioning it. I might get kicked out of the family, and not from him, from my sister. She's mortified.
Well, I could tell one. I had several friends. I'll try not to name names, but my favorite ever. I had several Jamaican buddies back in Ottawa, and so there was a wedding, and I'm trying to avoid the names, even though there's no chance they're listening to this program. But let's just say the best man and the other guy, one was named Everton, and they hung out all the time, best buddies. And I think it was, no one's going to care. I think his name was Little John, was giving the speech, and he was absolutely hammered. And so he gets up there, and I won't even try to do a Jamaican accent, but it's hard to do the story without trying to do a Jamaican accent. But he's like, me and Everton had some great times, man. Even when he was living with Sharon, we'd bring some girls back home in the basement.
Oh, no.
Sharon will be sleeping upstairs, man. And reaction. Just dead silence. The guy's got his head on his desk, on the table. And that was my all-time. I wanted to walk out of the room, yeah. And I wasn't even remotely involved. I was just friends of another guy in the wedding party.
That's sickening.
Horrifying.
Sickening.
Oh. Yes.
But that's
what I want to say to people. Everton, like, and his girl. Sorry?
What were you thinking? You just want to say to people, like, why would you think that story with Everton doing work?
Well,
downstairs?
No, I don't think he planned it. I really think he was so drunk out of his mind that he just forgot what he was talking about. But I think he passed it off as a joke, tried to pass it off as a joke after, and the bride, I think, bought it. But it was, it was a moment.
Those are the ones that you hear about. Those are the ones that really they reach out, right? They catch the grapevine.
Oh, they go forever.
They go forever because everyone's heard of a guy who said, you know, something about how I didn't think you should marry her, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? Like, we're at the wedding right now. Yeah. Like, you're the best man. You can't say that, or you can't talk about other women. You know, and it happens. Somehow.
I will say it, not to this level whatsoever, but I completely blew my wedding speech because I had a little too much champagne and my grandmother had died. And so I did the old just passed away grandmother thing. And I think there was a few tears, wish she was here. And then I kind of lost my focus and thanked my parents. And I sat down and said, oh, thanks for everybody for coming. I sat down and I could see my mom in the front, you know, on the table at the front. And she's mouthing at me going, Cheryl, Cheryl. And I'm like, what? You didn't say anything about Cheryl. It happened to me and my wife.
Right.
So then I had to like get up and grab the mic away from the MC. Well, yeah, one more thing. Baby, yeah. I love you.
And important, the reason we're here tonight. Like
the reason we're here tonight.
Back. Yeah, that one hurts.
Yeah, that wasn't a good moment for me.
But listen, people get nervous too, right? Like if you're not a natural speaker, and especially in a public forum with everyone you know.
I don't think it matters even with your own wedding speech. You know, even if you're a broadcaster, that's still a challenge, right?
It is.
Because it's your whole life sitting right there in front of you. So.
Yep, absolutely. With James Duthie. So. We've been doing the Matthews and McDavid thing a lot recently, really all year we've been doing it, and I think it just comes upon us naturally, and I think anyone that is watching hockey, anyone that's a hockey fan in this country, how can you turn away from it? It's just truly incredible. Which one, if we could play the you know, jump in a I guess time capsule and go back to early January game. If I were to tell you one of these guys is going to score 100 points and the other guy's going to score 40, which one do you think would have felt like more of an impossibility at the time?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I guess I would say 100, I guess. I mean, I think they're almost equal. If this was a quiz question at the beginning of the season, it's almost a 50-50 split because they both seem rather ludicrous. And I don't care. The people can criticize the one division and weaker teams and all that crap, and maybe there's a little something to that, but those are remarkable seasons. I think they're probably the two most remarkable individual seasons we've seen in the salary cap era for what they've accomplished in 56 games. And the other thing I would say, and I'm still not answering your question, is thank goodness we have them, because my personal opinion is that the Canadian division that we were all so excited about ended up being extremely anticlimactic. That playing, you know, McDavid versus Matthews 8 or 9 times ended up being too much and lost the luster. And a big part of that was that there was no playoff races. And so the spots were basically set a few weeks ago. And there was nothing else except McDavid and Matthews chasing these two milestones for basically the last month of the season. And so thank goodness we had those two things, but I think they're the only two things we'll remember about this regular season.
I think you're right up here. Yeah, I think that's very valid. Like, the Leafs have separated themselves in terms of the standings, you know, and they were kind of always in that position. I guess the coach firings up here is something I think when the dust settles, we'll look back and say, wow, like Claude Julien, pretty established seasoned vet, gets gonged. And we know what happened in Calgary. The fact that Daryl Sutter came back, and it obviously has not worked. But you're probably right in terms of ranking what will be remembered, Matthews and McDavid.
And probably what happened to Vancouver.
And Vancouver, yeah, right. Exactly.
And I think that's part of what I was saying, too, is what happened to the Canucks. I think, took a little bit of luster off the season. The North was pretty much rolling along. Montreal had one little issue there. But what happened with Vancouver, I think we all felt a little bit of, oh, man, is this thing worth it? Or is it worth it to make them play, you know, what they're playing now in this last month of the season? I think that it sort of took a little shine off everything that we'd been through over the last few months. So, yeah, I ended up being disappointed. And this was my fear at the beginning of this thing, is it sounded great. We were excited. I think overall it was a success. You know, overall it was good. But it ended up, you know, the All-Canadian every night ended up getting a little bit old. And I don't think we necessarily thought that would happen. It might have been a much different story, you know, if Ottawa hadn't got off to the awful start and Calgary wasn't awful and there was a, you know, three-way race for the last playoff spot or something, it might have been more intriguing. But instead, those two guys that you mentioned are basically been the focus for the last month or so.
I know it got kind of glossed over, and I hope it's not that big of a deal, but I don't think we talked about, like, there was, I think, 8 workers at Scotiabank that
yeah, that happened
positive.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was a couple days ago, and all I could think about is, like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, we just saw, we saw what happened to Dallas at the start of the year, we saw what happened to Buffalo, and we've seen, and Vancouver's still trying to come out of it. And I'm like, I'm just, fingers crossed, nobody else, you know, like,
come playoff time, too. Like, ever, clearly. That goes without saying. No one wants anyone to ever deal with it, but you're right. I mean, that could still derail, I believe, teams in the south of the border. Like, I haven't heard anything about vaccinations with the NHL teams. I know a lot of them are getting it. I know in baseball,
sure, like, all the U.S. teams are vaccinated.
I'm sure they're close, but I think it might be going slower than you think. I mean, with baseball, I want to say they're up to 11 or 13 teams that have hit the 85% threshold.
Well, Jamie, wouldn't the teams in the States just say, everyone after practice, like, we'll have the vaccinations and the team doctor is going to administer them?
My understanding is that, yeah, you're...
Because but you can't force a guy to take it.
No,
nope,
it's a personal decision, but my understanding is they would have it available for not just the team, but their loved ones, anybody who wants to be in that mix, right? Anybody who's in their, what do you call that, cohort?
Their bubble.
Their bubble, whatever. Like, you know, it's not just the player. It's what the player exposes himself to on a daily basis, because they've got wives, they've got kids, they've got maybe their parents in town, extended families, you name it. So it depends, again, individual state where you are. But I know a few guys that are fully vaccinated, and but it's not newsworthy. You know,
I think
what I mean?
the leagues were very careful to be patient. They didn't want to ever feel like they went ahead of anyone in the line, and perhaps overly cautious in a way. But, you know, once it got to the point in the States, and I think it was there about a month ago, where anybody who could get one could get one. I mean, you could basically walk off the street. Canadians were going down there. I know our crew, you know, some of the guys, the Masters, vaccines were just everywhere, essentially. So I'd be surprised if there weren't if there were teams that didn't have the majority of players vaccinated.
Yeah, that's probably valid and true. I guess it just comes down to which guys don't want to take it for whatever reason.
Well, and that's the big issue in the States right now, that they're I don't want to get into the whole news side of things, but I think Canada will end up passing the U.S. as far as the percentage of people vaccinated, because there were studies, that's the problem the U.S. is running into now, that they may never reach herd immunity, because there's, you know, this 30% of the population that either is anti-vaxxers or has some sort of fear of the vaccine. And I believe the percentage in the Canadian polls is, you know, 80% or 84% say they're going to have it. So sometime this summer, you may see Canada, at least with a first dose, pass the U.S. as far as that goes.
So
the one other thing.
Then?
Sorry?
We can golf then?
Yeah. Don't even get me started. But the one other thing with you talking about Scotiabank, I think we're probably at the point now where you're not going to see the winner of the North Division play in Canada. And that was still up in the air. But if you look at who are the two favorites to win, it's Toronto and Edmonton. Winnipeg certainly has a shot. Montreal certainly has a shot. But good chance it's going to be the Leafs or the Oilers. And those are the two provinces having the biggest issues right now. And we're only a month away from being in the third round, a month and change, I guess. So probably 6 weeks or 5.5 weeks away from being in the third round of the playoffs. So my betting money would be on the Canadian team having to play at that neutral host city or whatever, which, again, I think I brought this up to you before, Hayes, but as a Leafs fan, it's going to be really weird if they go there and, you know, they're playing in a strange city without Leaf fans there.
Oh, it's going to be, especially if they sell tickets. I mean, that, I think there's a chance the Blue Jays, like, they could be in the World Series in Buffalo.
Like, I think that would happen. I haven't followed baseball as much, but I think we're going to be in much better shape by August, September in Canada. So will the Jays just move back whenever Canada deems it them ready?
I would assume so, but I think it would also come down to who's allowed in the park. I mean, if you're going to come home, they're probably, you know, thinking, can we come home and also allow people into the building in terms of fans? I'm sure there'd be a limitation on that, but
I think so. In October, you could see 25,000-30,000 in for.
I think you're probably right. I hope you're right anyway. But you know,
so do I.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And listen, they got to get to the World Series. I'm not calling my shot that's a lock to happen. But big games in September, packed barn down in Buffalo. That's going to be tough to swallow on the other side of the border. But we'll see. It's almost go time in terms of the playoffs. So we're looking forward to it. We'll do it again well before then. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, bye.
There he is, James Duthie from TSN.